everyone. You're listening to Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. My name is Debbie, and I am extremely happy that you are here. Happy Tuesday. It's Tuesday, November 15, 2011, and I'm speaking to you from the Washington, D.C. metro area to bring you information and answers to your questions about operating a very successful wedding planning company of your own. I'm also the creator of two online resources, weddingsforaliving.com, which contains free content about planning weddings for a living, and that's also the place where you can listen to and download archived episodes of this talk show. If you think you need a little more hand-holding as you start your wedding planning business, then you should definitely check out my other site, weddingbusinessguide.com, where you can find tutorials, downloadable forms, and access to live teleseminars and webinars just for wedding planners. Okay, so for today, this show is not just about me talking, it's completely interactive. So if you have questions or comments, I want you to call in or to send something in the chat. To call in live, you simply dial 626-213-5678. And then if you have a question, just press the number 1, and that will let me know that you have something you'd like to share with all of us, and I will bring you on live on the switch via the switchboard. And of course, you can also type your questions and comments in the live online chat room, and I can see several of you are here today. Hi, everyone. I see Daniel. Hello, Daniel. Kiki Brothers. Hi there. Laurie Lockwood, Kim Howard. Wonderful to see everyone here, and I see a lot of other guest names. So Daniel's already got the ball rolling. Wonderful. Please post your Facebook URL page in the chat room so that you can get a few likes and definitely connect with people. This is what it's all about, connecting with people who are doing doing similar things that you're doing, okay? No, you know, don't worry about competition. Just I want you guys to reach out and connect. Okay, this show, most of you I know are on the Weddings for a Living email list, I do send out emails to remind you of the show, and email was a little bit funky today. I use AWeber to send out my emails, and something wasn't quite right there. But if you follow me on Twitter, what is the term? Do I say my handle? Is that the right term? So it's twitter.com, what's the one? Oh, yeah. Come on, Debbie, think. Debbie Tobias. So you can follow me there, and then you'll get a tweet when the show's about to go live, okay? And, you know, just follow me anyway. I'll be honest, there's not a whole lot of tweeting going on, but that's on my list of things to do for the upcoming year. And I'm on Facebook, and I'm trying, guys. I'm really trying. And I was about to post this event on there, too. Didn't even get around to doing that. So, please don't follow my poor example on Facebook. I know Facebook can do it for you. So, again, post your link, and if it scrolls off the chat room during the show, just post it again, okay? Please follow the show on the blogtalkradio.com/confetti page. And if you can't remember that, just type in confetti radio. And I haven't spelt confetti because I just figured everyone knows how to spell confetti, but sometimes with my pronunciation, you notice I have a tendency to garble my words, especially when I get excited, which is usually about weddings, so I'll speak really quickly and a lot of it doesn't make sense. So confetti, C like Charlie, O, N like November, F like Frank, E like Edward, T like Tango, I like India, radio.com. Okay? And that'll take you there. All right, so I know Daniel had a wedding today on a Tuesday. Daniel is in the UK, and Daniel is saying that the crackers look fabulous, and I hope you guys know what crackers are. Daniel, I know that's common terminology for those in Europe and in the UK, but over here in America, I'm not sure if everyone knows what a cracker is, but the tradition in England at Christmas time is you pull a Christmas cracker. So it looks like a tube. It's a tube wrapped in paper and it's decorated, and then you pull it and it has like that firecracker. But maybe people do know what a cracker is. I'm being retarded and I'm just being very obvious. Anyway, that's what a Christmas cracker is. So Daniel had Daniel created some crackers for this wedding that he planned, and the wedding happened today. So I saw pictures of that, not pictures of the video. I was watching him as he was putting it together, and looked absolutely fabulous. So Daniel, I know you're going to post pictures on your Facebook page, so please do that so we can all see what it is that I'm rambling on about. Okay, so for those of you that have just joined me, again, welcome. If you're in the chat, hello there. I'm so happy you're here. Tonight what I want to do is to get into something very basic. Now, normally on Tuesdays, we do Grab Bag Tuesday, right? And everybody, I answer questions that come in. I still want to do that, but I want to get us focused because November, I can't believe we're heading into the, this is the middle of the month. We've got a month and a half to go for the year to be over. So what I want us to do is to get off our, you know what, and get going with the wedding planning business. I mean, it's time already. I want you guys to get your first client if you haven't already done that, or if you've already got your first, you've got your first set of clients, fantastic, but I want you to do better and get more clients for 2012. So we're going to go back to basics, okay? We're going to talk about what it takes to get your business, wedding business going. Now, some of you I know are already there, but bear with me, and I want you to help me, please, because as people, as the listeners, as people write in the chat and call in with questions, those of you that have been there can help answer some of those questions. So, okay, here's what I thought, right? So to get your wedding planning business off the ground and get your first client, you know, we're going to go back to basics. Three things we need to work on. Becoming a wedding planner. And that's not just becoming a wedding planner, but deciding if that's what you really want to do, right? Next thing, start your wedding planning business. Third thing, very important, getting clients. So tonight I want to focus on part one, becoming a wedding planner, okay? Most of us are already there. But what I found is that a lot of people are ready to launch their wedding planning business, but they're not really familiar with weddings. Now, you don't have to know everything. I'm not saying that. But you've got to know a fair amount about weddings, definitely more than the people who will be paying you to plan and or create their wedding, okay? So you've got to be, you're a wedding planner. Thankfully, you don't, or maybe, yeah, thank you, you don't have, it's not a requirement to be certified. There's no licensing requirement, at least not now, not here in the U.S. for sure, to be a wedding planner. So anybody can do this. And a lot of times, folks will get involved with planning a wedding, whether it's their wedding or a friend or a family member's wedding, and then they say, hey, I can do this. This is fantastic. I want to be a wedding planner. So let's talk about being a wedding planner for a second, okay? That's what I want to talk about on tonight's show. Not so much setting up a business, but just being a wedding planner. First of all, you've got to understand what it is a wedding planner does. What is the job description for a wedding planner? And it varies. It really, really does. So, of course, you're planning the wedding. You know, a lot of wedding planners are there on the wedding day, but not always. And before the wedding even happens, there is a lot of legwork involved in putting a wedding together. If you've planned your own wedding, you know what I'm talking about. If you've helped somebody else with their wedding, you definitely know what I'm talking about. A lot of stuff goes on before the wedding day, okay? It's not all about design. It's not all about creativity. There's a lot of logistical stuff going on. There's a budget to manage. Very few people have an unlimited budget for a wedding. The budget can vary. It may be very small. It may be pretty large. It may be middle of the road. But there's a budget. Usually there's a set amount of money that folks have to spend on a wedding. Although I know a lot of people plan a wedding without a number in their head. They kind of just buy this and they'll buy that. They'll pay for the caterer. They pay for the photographer. And just as the amounts come up, they sort of pay those fees. And what happens in those cases, if when those couples look back after the wedding day and see how much money they have actually spent on this wedding, it is mind-blowing. So having a budget to begin with is definitely the way to go. And if you want to become a wedding planner, you've got to be comfortable enough to do that, to have a starting figure and be able to draw that information out from someone who's getting married. Because, you know, a lot of times people will they won't know. But you've got to be able to get that information out of them. Etiquette and wedding knowledge. And that's probably the easiest part of becoming a wedding planner. You've got to understand what happens at a wedding from beginning to end, right? I don't expect everyone to know everything. But I expect a wedding planner to know the basics, okay? And the reason I say that's the easiest thing is because there's so much information out there that you can get. You can read, you can watch videos. There's so much information that you can gather. The thing is, when somebody asks you a question or something happens, you're in a meeting with a vendor and a term comes up that you're not familiar with, you want to be able to find out what that information is pretty quickly. Books, magazines, DVDs, things that with regard to weddings, those kind of things will give you the information that you need. You have to know weddings, okay? You know, when you're setting up the ceremony and the officiant is talking about the prelude, you know, do you know what that means? Do you understand when your clients say, or you go to the caterer and the caterer offers beverage service and they say, well, we've got top shelf liquor. Do you know what that means? the term when they're pricing per consumption. Do you know what that means? Do you know what a gobo is? These are terms that I would expect a wedding planner who expects to be compensated to know. Again, you may not remember everything off the top of your head, but you've got to be familiar enough with weddings. Just planning your wedding and dealing with what you had to deal with is not enough. You've got to expand your knowledge. So if you seriously want to get your wedding planning business off the ground next year, and you know you're a little shaky in those areas, then take this time to catch up on that, to become knowledgeable about weddings. And you know what the great thing is? Once you know weddings, it's going to help you identify very quickly the parts that you love and the parts that you just don't want to be bothered with. Because as a wedding planner, you don't have to do everything, but I believe you need to understand everything that happens at a wedding, okay? And not just at a wedding, but that what's involved in the wedding planning process, okay? Talk to wedding planners who are established, and you may have a hard time doing this with local wedding planners, but hey, I'm in the Washington, D.C. area. Call a wedding planner in California. Or reach out to them on Facebook and just say, you know, give me an idea of what your day is like. What do you do? What do you do from the start of the day to the end of the day as you're, you know, with your wedding planning business? Tell me what goes on. Well, not so much as the wedding planning business, but as a wedding planner, what's involved day to day? Okay? So you want to understand and know what it is when it comes to weddings. Etiquette books are really great. Magazines will help you. Daniel, who's in the UK, says he'll help. I think that's what he's talking about, right? I keep trying to jump into the chat halfway through a message and always get mixed up. So let me stay away from the chat for a moment. But, you know, talk to people who are in the business about what's going on with weddings. But you have to understand what happens at a wedding. And having Emily Postbook will do it for you. As many of you know, I used to, you know, I kind of turn my nose up at that book right at the beginning of my career. But it's a lifesaver. It makes me sound so darn intelligent. Because I can, you know, when I'm getting ready to meet with clients and I know we're getting ready to talk about the ceremony, I brush up. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And not to show off, but just to let them know they made the right decision because Debbie understands what happens at a wedding. I can answer those questions. And you should be doing the same thing. Okay? You also want to, being a wedding planner, because you're planning someone else's wedding, remember this is a very personal relationship. It's not like, you know, going to the mechanic or it's almost like you're dealing with, I was going to say, when you're dealing with a healthcare provider in the sense that it's a very personal thing, that this person has to get you and feel comfortable enough to speak to you about things like the budget. You're going to deal with a lot of different personalities. So your wedding, your personality, those character traits will come into play as a wedding planner, okay? So, you know, if you've ever been in a situation where the parents are paying for a part, if not all, of the wedding, and that parent believes that he or she gets to make most of the decisions, that's a very, very difficult situation to be in as a wedding planner because your bride and groom are the people you're trying to please. But if mom's paying for that wedding, there's a good chance that mom's going to jump in and decide who she wants to invite, what type of flowers are going to be there. No, I don't like that limo. I don't think we should have a stretch limo. I think it should be something a little more simple. That will come into play if somebody is putting money down. You as a wedding planner have to be prepared to deal with that. How do you normally deal with folks when you know through your day-to-day interactions? How are you on the job with dealing with people who are somewhat difficult? You know the ones I'm talking about, the ones that you go to work and they can just make your life a living hell when you're on the job. The beauty about being a wedding planner, if you're your own business owner, is that you maybe get to pick and choose with who you're working with. But there's a good chance those personality traits don't come out until the contract's already signed and these people are your clients. And all those sub-clients, the mom, the dad, the sponsors, the aunt, whoever might be involved in planning. I mean, I plan weddings where there was a whole entourage of people, the bride, the groom, the aunt, the cousin, the friend who plans weddings on the side, and I have to answer to all of those people. Well, that's what they thought. So you've got to be ready to deal with that. And nothing beats time in that instance because you'll soon learn what to say and what not to say. It's almost like not everything that you could say, you should say. I learned that the hard way. I'm a very outspoken and very direct person. But when it comes to planning weddings, I have to shut my mouth and hold my tongue many times. Otherwise, I know we're going to go at it. And it always seems to be some overbearing person that really shouldn't even be involved in the planning process. And so I'm like, go away already. I don't want to deal with you. But this is the person that you may have to interact with. And as a business owner, you know, you may have to, it's not like you're just dealing with someone, you can just shut them out. You're going to have to sort of eat a little bit of humble pie. You may have heard me say, you know, check your ego at the door. So a lot of that is involved when you decide to become a wedding planner. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying that that's real, that that's what can happen when you're dealing with someone who's planning a wedding. And because it is so personal, and for many couples, this is the biggest party that they'll ever host. For many women, it's something they've been dreaming about, you know, since they were kids, since they were a child. So it's very, very important to them. And you have to be the person that can create that dream for them, but still keep it realistic, you know, within the budget. And, you know, as tacky as her vision may be, you may have to accept that or try to sort of work some other ideas in there without offending, without treading on toes. Okay? So when you decide to become a wedding planner, if you decide to become a wedding planner, just think about how you interact with people. Talk to someone who's very honest with you and say, how do you, you know, what things do you think I need? How do you think I'm going to, how do you think I am when it comes to dealing with certain people? You know, is there anything I need to work on? And, you know, I just thought being direct was the best thing, but someone has to say, Deb, you got to tone that down because, you know, you kind of push people away when you're so straightforward. And a lot of times when I hear people talking nonsense, that comes out. But again, you know, you have to sort of, you know, rein that in a little bit. So just be cognizant about your personality and how that fits with being a wedding planner. I believe as a wedding planner, you have to be a leader. I don't believe, you know, here I am being direct, but I think you do have to be a leader somewhat because you're going to have to sort of take control. Otherwise, you may find your clients are overtaking the whole situation and then it gets out of control. And I have found that if you have a love for weddings, but you don't feel that you're comfortable enough in being that sort of leader personality, and I can't think of a better word right now, a lot of times creative people fit into that mold. Not everyone, but a lot of times that's the case. Very creative, can come up with some great concepts, but maybe the interactive skills that they have with others may not be where it should be. And, you know, I don't want to offend anyone, but maybe in that sense, maybe planning weddings isn't really the key for you. Maybe it's being a wedding designer where you're more of a creative spirit. You're the person that can make that VFW hall look fantastic. When I saw the stuff that Daniel had produced for that wedding, I was just in awe because he said he did this by hand. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. So I'm not saying that Daniel could not be a wedding planner. No, not at all. But just to give you an example of maybe, you know, you want to kind of lean in that direction. So this is why once you know weddings and understand what's involved with a wedding from beginning to end, you can sit back and say, I like doing that part, didn't like that so much. Also understanding what's involved in planning a wedding for different cultures, different ethnicities, there are certain elements that may, you know, put forward and you will be either drawn to them or maybe sort of a little thrown off by that. And if you're drawn to those things, then maybe that's the area that you should head in as a wedding planner. Okay? So again, becoming a wedding planner, you want to know what's involved with a wedding. Not just the day of the wedding, but all the stuff that needs to happen before. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff. To plan a wedding from beginning to end is at least 100 hours of planning time, easily, usually more than that. So think about that. Are you passionate enough about weddings to want to do that? Or do you only want to be involved in a portion of that? Okay? We want to get this wedding planning business off the ground in 2012, but be honest with yourself about some of the things that you are willing to do. And if you don't want to do certain things, that's fine. That's fine. You can just do a portion of it. But be honest with yourself. Don't just jump on the bandwagon because you see other planners doing this and doing that. Okay? All right, let me take a look at the chat here and see if I can pick up in the middle here. Cleo, hi. Cleo asks, what edition of Emily Post do you use? I currently have the fifth edition, Cleo. I'm guessing it's probably a more recent one, but that works just fine for me. And there isn't much difference between the editions. I have four and five, and I just refer to four, five because it's the most recent one that I have. Debbie asks, what is the hourly rate for wedding assistance on the day off? It varies. It depends what the market will bear. For someone who's never assisted me at a wedding before, for 10 hours, I'll usually pay about $150. You may think that's low, but it works out to about $15 an hour for someone who's never done it. They're more experienced, definitely higher. But that's where that kind of works for me. Usually that's straight cash. Oh gosh, please don't let the IRS be listening. Just that's what they get. Kim asks, anybody buy leads from wedding directories with success? Okay, I guess that's a question for anyone, everyone. Does anyone buy leads from wedding directories with any success there? Okay, perfect days. Hi there. I'm still stuck with how to price my services. Okay, we're going to talk about that when we get into the next episode, which is going to be starting your wedding planning business. So I know I'm kind of deferring that, but I want to try to focus on one topic for the next couple of shows so that we can sort of get an understanding of what's going on. But I'll try to come back to that. Debbie asks, has anyone done a bridal show yet? And did you get leads? Okay, I'm curious to know what everyone thinks about that. Bridal shows are not my favorite place to market a wedding planning business, guys. As a wedding planner, it's a great place to meet vendors, and it is a great place to see brides face to face, but I find they're usually somewhat distracted and not really focused on using me as a wedding planner. That's been my experience. And Perfect Days is responding. Okay. Nelson Photographers, hi, I'm guessing it might be Tony. Hi there. Best way to get leads at a bridal show is to have a promo or contest to win a $20 gift card to Bed Bath & Beyond, et cetera, at your table, where they have to leave their information directly with you. You will notify the winner. That's a great idea. Good one. Okay, wonderful. Did you guys get that? And Debbie says she's not been a vendor, but she went to a couple to network. Right, me too. No, not Debbie. Is it Tatiana, I think, that's saying that? Perfect Days. I got a lot of great contacts and will be going with a local caterer while she does a wedding in the near future. Yeah, really, exactly, right? You get to meet a lot of wonderful wedding vendors at the bridal shows. You really do. It's a great way to build your vendor list. Okay, let's see. I'm reading here. I thought of charging a lower rate until I complete my certification course. Does it make sense? Or should I go ahead and charge what I would like to? I think if you believe, you charge what you believe you're worth. You can sort of, it kind of works both ways. If you feel you're worth a certain amount, I say charge that now. Charge that now. And then when you get certified, up that some more. Usually, if you know weddings, you know more than a lot of the couples that will be working with you. Not always, because there's a lot of information online, but if you're just studying weddings all the time, you're more focused and you're more zoned in. So there's a good chance you know more anyway. And if you've got the systems in place and you've got your checklist, you know what some of the pitfalls are, what questions to ask vendors, you already know more than they do. So I believe that's worth you charging what you believe you're worth. Does that sound silly? Charge what you value. Don't be scared to charge your what for what you do. And I know there are men and women on the call, but women, we have a tendency to do that. We kind of back down. Don't do that. Because when you charge lower, it's a lot harder for you to start raising the price. Just charge it already. But the client has to see the value in what it is that you are offering. Okay? They have to see that. And if you're just faltering and you don't know the answer to the questions that they're asking you, then how can you justify your fee? Okay? Let's see. And Tatiana says she's still learning, but you have the passion. Good. So keep learning. We think of it like taking a college course. Dedicate some time every week. I was going to say every day, but we all have different schedules. But dedicate some time to learning a bit about, maybe this week you're focusing on photography. Maybe next week you want to learn about Jewish weddings. maybe, you know, the week after that, you want to focus on catering and understanding what plus plus means and the difference between Russian service and, you know what I mean? Those are the things that you want to focus on. And a great way to do this is that if you have an online presence, for example, a blog, especially a blog, and you just decide to just blog about stuff that you are learning with regards to weddings, it's almost going to force you to learn what it is that you have to do, forces you to learn what's necessary in order to become, in order to be a fabulous wedding planner. Create a YouTube channel. Maybe a couple times a week you go on YouTube and you present, a few tips about selecting a wedding cake. These are things that people will see, and automatically you become an expert. We have a local paper that comes every Thursday, and gosh darn it, that man keeps throwing it up on the porch, and I don't always want to read it. But it's a local paper. But that would be a great place to offer to write an article, a regular column, or sort of ask Debbie about weddings, or ask the wedding expert. Instantly, you become an expert, and you are forced to learn everything that you can about weddings. You can decide what the content's going to be. There's no, it's unlikely that local newspaper will pay you, but it's an unbelievable opportunity to get your name out there. It's local. Most of us are planning weddings in our area. It's local. People will see that. They may not need you at that time, but when they are ready, oh, what is that woman's name? She writes an article in the Gazette every week. Let me go look at that. She's probably got something in there this week. You'll get to reference your webpage and your contact phone number. That's a really great way. Somebody else may read that and say, maybe we should have her on the radio show. When you position yourself in that light, you become an expert, and you are forced now to learn more, to learn much more about weddings. Okay? So don't jump into this wedding planning business thing lightly. Think about it. And you've got to be passionate about it, because if you're not passionate, that will become evident very quickly, not just to you, but to the people that you're planning weddings for. Okay? All right. Let's see. Any other certification? What certification, if any, do you recommend? So that's a really good question, Cleo, and that's something that I want to talk about specifically. I want to dedicate a whole show to getting certified. There's only one company that I recommend, well, kind of, sort of, as a true certification company, and it's not because I feel the others aren't good, but it's the one that I know firsthand, and that is the Wedding Planning Institute. I just think it's, this is what they do. Cho Phillips, who is the executive director and founder, is very passionate and really serious about leveling the playing field out there for wedding planners, because the courses are taught by wedding planners. I used to teach the course here in the D.C. area, and it was great. I mean, for 8 or 9 weeks, I'd be in class twice each week with a group of people who have paid at least $800-$900 to be there, which let me know that they were serious, and we would go through the wedding planning course. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. Maybe I'm tooting my own horn as an instructor. The feedback I got let me know that, and again, it forced me. I had to create lesson plans. It wasn't like I couldn't just go in and just, I was going to say BS. I had to create a lesson plan. Somebody had to approve that, and then I could move forward. I had to make sure I got in contact with vendors who would come and speak to the students. So it was this was a serious certification course, and that's the one that I recommend. There are many others out there. You can do this on your own with correspondence from home, but going to class twice a week makes you accountable. And it also gives you a chance to interact. And as you know, like what we're doing right now, when you interact, a lot of great things can happen. Sometimes it's just one idea from someone, and it's not always from the instructor. Ask me how I know that. But that one idea can do it for you, okay? And I know there are some of you here that said they went through the Wedding Planning Institute. Okay, great. Ken said it was a great experience. Let's see. Debbie says that there's Backstage Bridal Academy in L.A. is having a great conference here next year. Okay, great. There you go, Backstage Bridal Academy. Wonderful. Tatiana, I think that's you, right? Perfect Day says you're enrolled at U.S. Career Institute. So far, so good. Okay, that's good. So, next call, next show, we're going to extend this a little bit more. We're going to talk about wedding planning certification courses. So if you would, please share your experiences with your certification course. If you're a current student, a past student, an instructor, a representative, love to hear about that. If you go on weddingsforaliving.com on the confetti page, there is a place for you to do to leave a comment or question in the contact form. I've also created a talkback line. It's a number you can dial in 24/7 and leave your audio message, and then I can play back the message during the show. Okay? So I don't want to repeat the number on the air because you've got enough numbers to remember. There's a number to call in live. So just go on to weddingsforaliving.com, select the confetti page, and you'll see the phone number there to dial in. It's a 202 number. It's a local number. The reason I didn't make that an 800 number, a toll-free number, is because I know many of you are not here in the U.S., okay? Oh, I'm sorry. It's Natika. I'm sorry. I've been calling Perfect Days Natika, Tatia. It's Natika. I apologize. Thank you very much. Okay, so if you do have a Facebook URL, a Facebook page, please post it in the chat so we can get you can get a few more likes, okay? So, you know, again, getting your wedding planning business off the ground is about becoming a wedding planner and believing that this is what you want to do, okay, and knowing that this is what you want to do. Do some research. Take some time. You know, a lot of us like the shows that come on TV, Bridezilla and things like that. Those are good to watch. But the time that you're dedicating to watch that, also take some time to do some offline research, too. I mean, I was at the library today. I don't know the last time. Reading a book has become a luxury for me now. I don't even have the time to do that. But when I do, it's really great. So take some time to read a little bit about wedding planning, the wedding planning industry. The etiquette books are really good. They're kind of dry, but they'll give you the information that you need so that you know what happens from beginning to end, and then you can determine which part of the wedding you want to be involved in. Okay? Becoming a wedding planner doesn't mean automatically you have to start your own wedding planning business. That's my focus, but it doesn't have to be. You can work for a resort. You can work for a banquet facility. You can work for a hotel. You can work for a cruise line as a wedding planner. And a lot of those organizations have their own training program in place. I know Marriott has a wonderful training program for people who are working with couples getting married. So you don't have to, and if that's the way you want to go, that's a great way to get your foot in the door and to get a full understanding. You can get a part-time job, maybe as a coordinator at a local facility. And I say part-time; I mean it could be full-time too, of course. But I found a lot of those places outside of the hotels, but will take people part-time, especially when they're getting through the busy season, but they don't have enough going on to have a slew of people there full-time. And a lot of couples are coming in on the weekend. So that's a way for you to think about, you know, get an idea of what's involved in planning a wedding. You'll learn an awful lot about catering to and the systems, and you'll see the forms that they're using to get the wedding, you know, get to pull the events together. These are all things that will help you as you move forward as a wedding planner, okay? Okay. Let's see. Any questions? I thought I saw a question on the switchboard. It looks like somebody just that person disappeared. Okay. Any questions, guys? Any concerns about becoming a wedding planner? Somebody asked, "What are e-zines?" Oh, okay. What is that? What did you see that term? E-zines. E-zine is just another term for an electronic newsletter. Oh, did I say e-zine? Is that what happened? It's just an email newsletter. That's all it is. I'm not sure where the term comes from. I don't know if I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, e-zine. I don't know if it's e-zine, but e-zine. It's just an electronic newsletter. And it's a great way for you to keep in contact with brides that stop by your website. You collect their name and their email address, and then you just send them information, a newsletter on a regular basis. And sending that newsletter via email is what's referred to as an e-zine. You don't want to do that manually through your own email service provider, like if you have Gmail or using Outlook or something like that. That's not the way to send out newsletters. You want to use an email service provider, because if you start sending mass emails, meaning you're emailing more than one person at a time, I'm not saying it correctly. You're sending correspondence to a group of people at the same time. You don't want to do that with your email. How many times have you got an email from someone and there's like 20 other names in the two box? That makes me so mad. You don't want to do it that way. You want to use an email service provider. I use AWeber, and that's the email that you get when you sign up on Weddings for a Living and you put your name and your email address and you get that response automatically. That's the email service that's doing that. I mean, could you imagine having to do that manually every time someone came to your website? That would be crazy. So I use AWeber. In the past, I've used Constant Contact. MailChimp is another one. And these are all great services. MailChimp, I believe, is free for quite a number of people on your list. And the beauty is you keep this list going because people are going to leave your website at some point. I know it's sort of off topic, but since it came up, when people come to your website, they're going to leave. It's going to be just a matter of when. Is it going to be a matter of seconds? Or is it going to be a matter of minutes? So they'll read the information, they'll check your about page, and then what you want to do is say, you know, I have, you know, some really great information I'd like to send you that will help you with your wedding planning process. If you just put your name and your email address in here, it'll come automatically, and that's what the email service provider will do. That's just an automatic response. But then every week or every other week or once a month, you can send out a newsletter, and that's what an e-zine is. Kiki Brothers saying it's an online magazine. Exactly. And you can make it whatever you want it to be. E-zines can either be in text where there are no pictures, just plain text, almost like the courier text almost, or it can have, you know, lots of bells and whistles, a lot of pretty pictures and HTML, meaning a lot of font. You can see the bold and italics and things like that. But you get to decide how you want to send that. But it's a really great way for you to keep in contact with your potential clients. Okay? Any questions, guys? Any questions? Well, we've got some time left, so let's talk a little bit about certification, okay? Becoming a wedding planner, it's helpful to be certified. It's not required. As I mentioned, I believe 100% in what the wedding Association of Bridal Consultants, I know, offers a certification course too, and I believe that's a great resource. I say believe, I haven't really checked that out. It's been a while since I've looked through the details of that. But what certification will do for you in this industry and in any industry, just let someone know that you're serious and that you've taken some time and pride in what you're doing and you want to learn more. That's always good. I mean, if you go to a mechanic and he's certified, hey, that's a good thing. They're keeping their knowledge fresh. So you want to do the same thing. It's not a requirement, and don't let that stop you from moving forward. What I would say that may stop you from moving forward is not knowing about weddings, because I hate when I, you know, that's a pet peeve of mine. To meet someone who says they're a wedding planner, they don't know enough about weddings. You can't know everything. I understand that. But you've got to know more than your clients. The Association for Wedding Professionals International, I don't think they have a certification course, but checking out their site, I know they have a lot of links. Nelson Photographers, Tony, I think that's you, is saying American Academy of Wedding Professionals. Okay, is that AAWP? Do they offer a certification course? Is that what you're saying, Tony? Please let us know. You know, for the next show, and actually 2 weeks from now will be the week of Thanksgiving. Oh, what am I talking about? Thanksgiving is next week. Oh my goodness. What was I thinking? All right, scratch that. So the week, oh, completely mixed that up. Okay, so 2 weeks from today, when we have the next show, we're going to talk about certification. And what that's doing is forcing me to do some research and come back. And hopefully, I can get someone from some of these organizations to come live on the show and talk to us about their wedding certification courses. But it's not mandatory. Some of them are really comprehensive, like Wedding Planning Institute. I keep saying that, but they really are. Others are pretty just sort of what I found a lot of the certification courses is, you know, just about how to plan a wedding, which is what you need to do. But as a wedding planner, you also have to pick up some other skills. Right? Do you guys agree with me? So you wanna I'm just assuming that you're saying yes. You want to research the wedding certification course that you're thinking about. And a lot of times, I mean, you're putting down a pretty penny to be certified anyway, so I know you're going to do some homework. But ask if you can speak to recent graduates and talk to those people about what they experience. Is it possible for you to speak to an instructor? You know, these are good things to ask about a certification course. The worst thing to do is to put down a whole bunch of money and then find that you're not getting the feedback. I know I spoke to one of the wedding business guide members who was having the hardest time with a certification course that she signed up for. And I'm not going to say who it is on the air, But I mean, just to the point where this person that she was communicating with, she's being, I don't know, I call it passive aggressive. She had some essays that she had to complete and the feedback wasn't very positive and it was just not a good experience. And to add insult to injury, you know, she paid a good few $100 for this course. So you don't want to be in that situation, okay? Do some homework, but ask to speak to recent graduates and ask to speak to an instructor if you can, okay? Daniel's mentioning UKAWP, so that's UK Wedding Certification. Okay, that's great. Never heard of that organization. So I know there are quite a few in Australia. So depending on where you are, you want to find out about these certification courses. Check with the Better Business Bureau, because if someone has had issue with an organization, they've likely complained about it to the BBB, okay? And as Daniel said, you've got to look around because it's not governed. Cleo says, make sure the course information is not outdated. Very important. And I found that to be the case in a lot of instances. So, wedding planning for the most part, a wedding is pretty steady in the sense that, you know, you're going to do this, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen next. But there are other bits and pieces as we move forward that you need to incorporate, like social media is just major. And I think you've got to involve that as part of your wedding planning business. Although, again, that's kind of more to do with business than being a wedding planner, but the two tend to go hand in hand because most people who want to plan weddings want to do it as a business owner and not always as an employee, okay? All right. Okay, so tonight I think we're almost done. I'm going to wrap things up. I wonder if there were any other questions. Please let me know. The switchboard, just dial 626-213-5678. Post your comment in the chat. I did want to mention that I asked you guys to please send me your goals and what you have planned for the upcoming year. I haven't heard from many people, but I did hear in particular from Kim. Kim, I'm putting you out there. Sorry. And really, really proud that you're moving forward. Anything I can do to help with your wedding planning goals for 2012, please let me know. But that's what I want us to focus on. I just want to sort of give you a little push and say, you know, get going. And Kim has some great plans. And the thing is, when you share it, what I'm getting at is then you become accountable. And I know every other Tuesday I've got to be here. That makes me accountable. So when you share your goals, it's kind of like, you know, I want to follow up and say, how's it going? I mean, do you have those bridal clients that you said you were working on? Are you really promoting your Facebook page? How's that coming? So those are the kind of things that I'm trying to get. I'm not trying to be bossy boots and say that I know everything, but I just want to help you because the year has just gone by yet again, okay? If you want your wedding planning business to get going, put it on paper. A lot of times the difference is just writing it down. And seeing that, when I go back and read some of the notes that I wrote back in 2000, 2003, I accomplished some of those. I'm so darn proud. And on those days when I'm not feeling my best, and I go back and I read through those things, I'm like, you know what? I didn't do this, but I accomplished this, this, and this. So do that for yourselves, okay? All right, I see a question. Somebody is on the switchboard, so let me bring you live. I think I know who it is.
Hi.
Hi, Althea, is that you?
Yes, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Great to hear you. What's going on?
I just wanted to say thank you so much for your encouragement. It means the world. Thank you so much for your programs. I really mean that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Very encouraging.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Althea, guys, is our Indian wedding planning specialist, and she's based in the Virginia area, right, Althea?
Yes, Roanoke, okay. Virginia.
Okay, wonderful. So, yeah, I'm good to hear from you. I haven't spoken to you, I hadn't heard from you in a while. And do you have some goals for 2012?
I do. I'm working on my marketing skills, my marketing level, that type of thing. And I'm working on branching out. That's what I'm working on now because I've done so much work for free this year, and I really did that for the experience. So this year it's going to be no more free, but it's going to be working on my marketing techniques and get myself out there because I have a lot of competition in the area I'm in, not with the Indians, but with the other, in the other area. I have some very, very well-known wedding planners here. So
Okay.
I have to work on getting around that.
Yeah, write some goals down. Write them down or
okay.
send an email or put something in the contact form or leave a message on the talkback line. So, and if you don't want to share all that, just make sure you say that and I won't. But, yeah, it's good to be for us to start planning what it is that we want to do and being proactive instead of reacting to what's going on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you have a good night.
Oh, thank you. You too, Althea. It's wonderful, wonderful to hear from you. Okay?
Bye-bye.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. On mute, rather, not hold. Okay, so wonderful. So, you know, guys, a lot of times you'll see what other people are doing in the wedding planning business. Don't be discouraged by that. Please don't be discouraged by that. You know, what we see on the outside is not always what's going on. But a lot of times, and I knew that more, you know, I learned this very quickly when I moved to this country. A lot of it is about faking it till you make it. And I know that sort of sounds contradictory to what I just said about knowing what it is that you're doing. But a lot of times, just the confidence that you exude can do it. And I know there's more to this wedding planning business than that. But when you see someone out there doing this, doing that, you can do the same thing too. You just focus on what you've got to do and what your goals are, okay? You don't have anyone to talk to me. There are people out there. I know it's not just about me, and I'm not trying to make it about me because it's really about you. But if you want to do this, you can do this. And the key is getting that client. And when you see that, when you've got and knowing you've got some things in place, I don't expect you to have everything ready to go. It's not going to be that way. But there are certain things you just want to have in place. There's an archived episode of Confetti that talks about the 10 things that I believe you should have in place. Listen to that. If you go on to weddingsforliving.com, you'll see that. There's actually a link on the top called Become a Wedding Planner, and I think the link is under that. So just go through what it is in your mind you want to do. Is it to get at least one paying client before April of next year? If that's your goal, write that down and then work backwards. Okay, I want to get one client by May of 2012. All right, so that means I'm going to have to make sure that brides know about me. How am I going to make sure they know about me? Website. I don't know if people are finding my website. Do I have a Facebook page? Hey, maybe I should be sending out Facebook status updates. Do I have a Twitter page? Maybe I should do that. Or let me contact the local Gazette and see if they would like me to write an article. Maybe I'll just do 6 articles. It doesn't have to be for the next year. Let me send out a letter to all of my friends and family and let them know, 2012, I'm ready to go. I'm getting my business off the ground, and it would be really helpful for them to share any vendors that they know in the area that are really good. These are the things that I want you to do to start getting the ball rolling. Don't worry about, oh, my gosh, I don't have enough money to get a booth at the next bridal show. There are other things that you can do. But start planning now, not to the point where you're just planning where you're sort of like stuck. But just think about what it is that you want to do. And when you write your goals, you want to put something specific there, not just I want to get more clients in 2012. We all want that. How many and by when? You know, I want to be the local wedding expert in my area. Maybe that's your goal. I want to become known as the wedding planning specialist here in D.C. For next year. By June of next year, I want to have about 3 articles out there. I want to have my YouTube channel going. These are things that don't take money but just take time. And it's so weird how things have transpired over the last 2 years where it's not so much about money. It's about people getting to know you. Remember when you had to pretend to be like you were some huge corporation? Not necessary anymore. People want to get to know you, and quite rightly so. As they're planning their wedding, they want to get to know you. So write your goals down. Put some time and deadlines to those and go out there and you know, focus on what you want to do. Maybe you don't want to plan weddings from beginning to end. I'm getting a few emails from you folks saying that you want to do the day of wedding. I think that's absolutely wonderful. Focusing on day of planning. That's really an easy sell for a lot of brides if you come across as an expert and know what it is that you're talking about, especially if you're advertising that your full-service planning is $4,000 but your day of planning is only $1,200. Ooh, that's a great deal. Just saying $1,200 all by itself doesn't mean anything, but when they compare it to a larger package and they see that you've got a YouTube channel, they can see that you're writing an article in the Gazette, they can see you're blogging a few times a week, she knows what she's talking about. Maybe she's the person or he's the person that should be planning our wedding. And those are the kind of things I want you to get into thinking about, okay? So you make up your mind if you want to become a wedding planner, and most of you are already there, and for those of you that aren't sure, think about it. If you don't want to do weddings from beginning to end, take a portion of it. If you don't think you want to do the planning, you want to do the design, focus on that. If you've got the creative spirit and you want to do the invitations and the stationery and all the paper product, I ran into this woman that does these fantastic seating charts so that when you walk into the reception, it's sitting on an easel, absolutely designed beautifully. That's her specialty. Maybe you have a special, you can design the aisle runners. I'm always fascinated by these beautiful, beautiful aisle runners. Maybe that's where you want to lead to. But, you know, you pick what it is that you want to do and make that your focus. Okay, but 2012 is right around the corner, guys. Let's get this going. All right. So the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about wedding planning certification. Questions about certification, comments about wedding planning certification, please, please, please share them. You can go onto weddingforaliving.com, click on the confetti link, and leave your comment either on the phone number to call and just record your message. I think you have about 2 minutes. I think that's quite a bit of time. Or you can just type your question or your comment in the comment form on the page. Either way, okay? We're going to talk about wedding planning certification next show. All right? So I want to thank everybody that's here. Oh, before I do that, let me just make one last sweep of the chat here. Cleo, thank you, Cleo. Cleo says she looks forward to these every 2 weeks. Can one of my goals for next year be to do this every week? I have some things changing for confetti for next year. So, Cleo, thank you for the input. I've got something in the works, so we'll see how that goes. Thank you. Perfect Days. Natika says, my first client for Perfect Days Made was a day of, and we had me rethinking that my niche would be day of service. Right. See? See, so when you get in there and you start mucking around, for lack of a better term, you can you'll soon figure out what you like to do. Day of wedding is really easy to sell. I'm saying easy. I mean, relatively speaking. It's hard to do, though, because you're picking up the pieces. But if you've got it figured out, if you've got your system and you've got your checklist and you know how to jump in and sort of take over, it'd be very lucrative. Because even if you don't want to give up that full-time job, I'm not, you know, I'm assuming that you do, not everybody does, but then you can do this. You could become the day of wedding planner to go to in your area, to the point where once you have it mastered, you can package that up and set up day of services in another city and state. You're the lead planner, you're the owner, and you can show people how to do this. Okay? Day of planning is very, very lucrative if you know what you're doing. And if you've got a team of people, you can do two or three weddings in one weekend. You as the big wig can just go from wedding to wedding, and you've got a staff of people that know what to do. It's got to be very systematic, though. And again, I'm assuming that you want to grow it, but if you want to make some money in this business doing what you love, then you can focus on the marketing and have your team of people do the day of, because brides are not expecting you to do everything on the day of. When you're doing planning from beginning to end, soup to nuts, they kind of want that hand-holding, and they want you. They want Debbie. They want Daniel. They want Natika. They want Kim. But when you're doing the day, when you're doing full service, right? But when you're doing day of, they expect you to have an entourage of people to pull that day together. So once you figure out what works, you train others to do that. You do the marketing, which is the hard part, but you know how to sell this because it's your business. And you're the face behind the business, but you've got a team of people you meet every week. You have your Skype calls. You have your one-on-one chats. And you determine, okay, we've got this wedding coming up. I need this to happen. You should be doing this. It can work. It really, really can work, okay? So, all right, I think that's about it. I want to thank everybody for being here. Daniel, send me kisses. Kisses to you, too. So we'll be here 2 weeks from today, right, talking about wedding planning certification on November 29th, 7 p.m. U.S. time Eastern, okay? As always, thank you for joining me. Please go out there and make lots of money. And as always, love and success. Have a great evening.